Welcome back to the Chamber Chat Podcast. Today we are here with CC, President of the Little Miami River Chamber Alliance, Meredith, Programs Director, and Steve Walterman with Walterman Law. That's all correct, right?
That's correct.
Perfect. Now, what do you do at Walterman Law?
Well, I'm an attorney. My practice is, you know, being a neighborhood firm. You know, we do a lot of estate planning, wills, trust. We do probate. We have lots of business clients, many of them here in Loveland. We do real estate transactional work, so kind of a general business firm or family law type firm, although we don't do divorce.
Mm-hmm. Is that by design? You don't do divorce?
Yes. By design, I thought I would be a tax attorney, and when I moved our office out to Loveland, that kind of developed into more of the neighborhood type firm, so, you know, and I tell folks I've got a kind of finance and tax background, which is useful in estate planning and, you know, with business clients. But, you know, there's only so much by design and what actually ends up happening after, you know, a dozen years.
So what's your favorite part of it?
Probably the people. I get clients in, you know, even during COVID, you know, we still kind of never missed a beat and had a lot of interaction with our clients and just all the different people. I get to spend most of my time, you know, on the phone. I'm not a courtroom attorney. I don't do litigation. So I'm just kind of working directly with clients and many different people each day. So, you know, over the years, developed a lot of great relationships with folks. I enjoy what I do.
Nice. That's awesome. So you hit on a topic earlier that I know nothing about, mm-hmm. and that's estate planning.
Sure.
What is that?
Something that I need to do.
Right. Estate planning. So that you know, basically is preparing for what happens after we pass on. Typically, you know, people start to think about estate planning when they have children. And, you know, what happens if mom and dad die, you know, at a young age? You know, who's going to step in and take care of the kids from a guardian role? You know, how are you going to leave assets to your children and make sure that, you know, things like education and their well-being is taken care of? You know, there's different levels of estate planning. You know, different levels suit different people. A lot of that has to do with the age of your children. Mm-hmm. You know, there's things like trust planning where, you know, we often don't want a lot of assets to go to a young child if something's happened to mom and dad at an early age. You know, you don't want a 19 or a 22-year-old with a whole bunch of money, typically.
Yeah, typically.
So you might do trust planning where somebody else in the family, you know, an uncle or an aunt, is kind of overseeing the money, and the child has to go if they need more distributions out of that. And, you know, they you know, hey, uncle, I need $80,000. Well, what's that for? It's for a new Porsche. Hey, I don't think mom and dad would have wanted that, but, you know, I need 80 grand, and, you know, that's for 2 years of tuition for graduate school. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, mom and dad would have loved that, and
right.
The money's here, so we'll make sure that happens. And you can kind of control the flow of assets to children until they get to a more appropriate age where then they can go and take things.
And buy the Porsche.
And then buy the Porsche, right.
We loved working with you, Steve, so our family worked with Steve personally, and it just, you know, it's kind of a weird topic, you know, it's money and it's family and it's end of life stuff. So not super comfortable. And Steve made it, and we worked with him directly. He just made it seamless. I mean, it was just, you know, here's what you need to decide, kind of come prepared with, and it just made it super easy. And you did make it comfortable, you know. Mm-hmm. We had some laughs even about, you know, if monies did go to this one or that one.
Right. And which one's buying what?
Who's right. Yeah, right. Exactly. Who's going to be in charge of who? So,
well, every time great. That I'm
it's
on.
It's good to hear, Cece. Thanks.
Not every time, because we don't vacation a lot without our children. But the last mm-hmm. couple of times we've been on a trip without the boys and we're in an airplane, we're like, man, we really got to
get our stuff set up.
Interestingly, that a lot of our new clients come in. And they're in a panic because they're going on a trip.
Right. If I put a post-it note like under some like my dresser right. of where the boys should go or something like that, is that a legal document?
I think so. Is that constitutes a legal document? He's the lawyer.
A post-it note?
As my last word.
So you can have like a deathbed type will or declaration, but that's a very specific situation. A post-it note.
No, go see Steve.
On the nightstand is probably
super legit, but
probably going to be a little difficult.
Which sister is getting the boys?
Right.
That's why we haven't been in.
Right.
Which sister is getting the boys?
We don't know.
Oh, okay.
That's
well,
why I said we don't know. That's
which
why we
direction
are
you leading?
Yet.
Just so we can make sure we have some gotcha journals. No, that's really interesting.
Yeah,
so
but it is interesting. And sometimes there's laughs. You know, you're dealing with death, but you know, we get fun conversations, and you get, you know, husband and wife, you start arguing about, you know, where half their ashes are going to be spread, and you know, are their ashes going to be together, or one going to be in a creek, and
ooh, maybe we should discuss that. We didn't get that.
It's it has its moments where it's kind of fun.
That's interesting. So outside, is that the primary core of your business, you think, say estate planning, or
no? I mean, it's a significant percentage of our practice. Again, kind of being a neighborhood firm,
right?
You know, every week we're doing, you know, many meetings with folks and doing estate planning. I personally have another kind of niche area in my practice, which is called 1031 tax deferred exchanges, that applies to people who are selling business or investment properties. That could be like a rental home, it could be an office building like we're sitting in right now, it could be industrial, you know, space. Mm-hmm. If people sell property, there's a gain for tax purposes, and they can defer that and not have to pay that tax if they replace it and buy a new property.
Oh, okay.
Within certain parameters. So that is something, it's a, you know, federal tax provision, 1031 is, we do that all over the country. So you have a lot of relationships here in town with accountants and financial planners and do a lot of that work, but you know, that's something where we also advertise in all 50 states and perform these transactions in all 50 states and facilitate them. So that's a pretty significant part of my practice. And, you know, again, we have, you know, many business clients, you know, many of them, you know, we've had for, you know, 12 years. I think I've been practicing on my, you know, I started my own office 14 years ago. You know, we have several business clients that were there from day one. Mm-hmm. You know, we're doing monthly work agreements,
contracts,
as things
right.
come up, you know, we take care of it, you know, here and there. It's kind of outside the purview of what we do. And, you know, I can kind of quarterback that and know enough people around that get somebody else in to take care of matters.
To have that kind of conversation. That's really interesting. Now, you said you're the neighborhood legal firm inside of Loveland. Why'd you pick Loveland?
Well, that's a good question. I was working downtown Cincinnati. I live in Sims, so right up the road. But there was a local realtor here in Loveland who had sold, been a part of when we bought our house and moved out here. Because before moving to Sims, my wife and I, we lived actually downtown. I had a wonderful loft before I met her and ended up working downtown. And, you know, somehow we moved early and jumped out to the suburbs. And soon after I did that, I was commuting, going downtown every day. And you know, it's kind of a drag, and nobody ever wanted to come and park downtown. And I'm not going to court, so you know, there's really, you know, wasn't too much of a need to be going downtown every day. The realtor, you know, said, "Hey, I'm taking some office space on Loveland Avenue. Why don't you come a few days a month and share time?" And you know, at the time, I said, "Geez, you know, I feel like I'd be like a country attorney, you know, going
wow.
to, you know, this,
yeah,
this
well,
is
I mean,
too,
back
now,
then,
hold on,
right.
I'm gonna come around. I love Loveland." at that time, and you know, maybe that was 2014, and you know, that was my first impression. Well, I said, "Fine, you know, I'll check it out," and I basically went to work, you know, one day, and never went back downtown.
Really,
I still paid the lease for a couple years, and then finally cut that. And but that's a true story. I never went back downtown to my office.
He still has a coffee mug there, actually.
I did go get the stuff, I suppose, from the office. But
that's
so it was a kind of an immediate change. And I went from, you know, just me to actually growing to, you know, a couple attorneys and staff. And that's all attributable to moving out here to Loveland. And, you know, I fell in love with the area. I've been involved, you know, ever since. It's been awesome.
That's amazing. So, yeah. And looking at the stickiness, and we hear that story all the time when we talk to people who go to Loveland. They come here once and they're like, "Oh, this is where I am now."
Mm-hmm.
What made it sticky? Why do you think that it was the instant, "Yeah, this is where I am now"?
Well, I think to some degree, the people and just a little bit more laid back feeling. It's just a little more comfortable. You know, I loved walking out of the office and walking across the bridge and grabbing lunch at Tana's or, you know, wherever, you know, at Paxton's, and just, you know, kind of fewer people and you get to know people quicker. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's pretty, you know, and I've liked the buildings that I've been in. They're cozy, and
it could have just been, know, timing just, too, as far as what was happening in your life, you know. And
true. And anyway, I had young, you know, young kids, and you know, the commute's easy, and it hit, you know, many points for me.
I love that. That's great.
Yeah.
Now, looking at you, said you've been very involved. What all have you been involved with inside of Loveland?
Well, we do, you know, stuff with the high school and kind of donating to some of the sports programs and t-shirts, and then, you know, of course with the chamber, you know, I think for many years we've sponsored food truck rallies and you know, Christmas in Loveland, different events. Just try to, you know, I think Loveland does a great job and the chamber does a great job, you know, of hosting a lot of events that are great for the community, and mm-hmm. you know, I just really want to be a part of that. And
Steve has been nominated many times, Wolterman Law, for the community award, which the chamber gives out, because he doesn't just give to the chamber, which is nice, but he does a lot within the community itself and different events. And so you see that, and that's just where the heart of their business is as well. Is, you know, if they're going to be here, you can tell that's they want to be infused and they want to give back. So.
And Steve has also sat on our board, and he's been a trusted advisor for absolutely. Us. You know, if there's a contract that comes up or mm-hmm. we look at something and we're like, it looks a little fishy. I don't know about that. We're always like, let's have Steve look at it, you know? So it's sort of a gut right. check.
Yeah.
Well, it's the neighborhood lawyer. I mean, that's the play of the
neighborhood attorney. Sure, yes.
I love that. And then looking at the food truck rally. So you mentioned you sponsored food truck rally a couple of times. CC Meredith, that's coming up,
right? That's coming up. So, we could kind of talk about that. And we're so grateful because Wolterman Law is the presenting sponsor here in 2022 for that. And as usual, we have a spectacular event planned, and the weather's going to be amazing. We just know it. Play it and just curse us. It is May 14th and starts at 3 o'clock. We'll start with Premier Dance and Tumbling out there, as you've seen in the past. And they are super excited. They're preparing some really neat performances for us. And then we'll have another warm-up band to be named. And then the headliner band is Alter Ego. And they've also got some really fun things planned for us, for the community. And good cover band, so something for everybody will be out there. And then we will have a children's area, but I'm going to let Meredith tell you about all the trucks, because it is a food truck rally.
Yeah, so this year we have 25 different food trucks that are going to be there. So, I mean, literally, if you can't find something you like, there we might have to have a conversation about eating habits. So there's a couple new trucks that are coming, and you can get anything from tacos to mac and cheese to different types of crepes to there's a poutine truck that's coming, the Canadian dish. It's like fries and gravy and cheese.
Oh boy.
It's like, can't go wrong there.
I call three of those words.
ice cream trucks, Loveland Dairy Whip's going to be there. Kona Ice is going to be there. So some of our standbys that are always there, they're going to be there as well. We'll be selling beverages, so we'll have soda and Gatorades, as well as lovely options for alcohol. So it's a really great community event. We are hoping for good weather. We are still looking for volunteers if you want to help out with the event. It really does take a village to make the event happen. So super thankful for sponsors to help assist in some of the financial needs that it takes to put on basically a festival in a parking lot. And it's kind of amazing because the day after, it's you drive by and it's like, did anything even happen here? Because it's just, it goes up in a day and it comes down in a day. So
it's like a circus.
It is like a circus. Yeah. So the food trucks have been really fun. I've been doing this for 6 years. I know them all pretty well. And so it's been fun to work with them, and they've been really, really easy to work with. So there's great organization there.
Really plenty of parking. You'll see busy cars coming in and out, but there's plenty of parking across the street at the intermediate school and the primary school. Mm-hmm. So folks can go over there. And then actually we're in a large parking lot, so there's a good amount of parking there as well.
You can walk from the Goodwill parking lot too.
Goodwill,
it's not too far.
LCNB allows folks to park there.
But it's, I mean, a lot of people, you know, I've talked about this before on different podcasts of, you know, this seems kind of random to host a food truck rally, and why is a law firm hosting it that's not next door?
That was my next question. I was going to say, why is a law firm?
I'm like totally reading your mind. I'll let Steve talk about why he wanted to host it, but the reason that we do it, really, the location of it, if you're not familiar with Loveland, there's a historic downtown area that gets a lot of kind of natural traffic flow with how the bike trail is and how the river is and just kind of what's built in as far as the businesses there. But there's a whole other part of Loveland on Loveland Madeira Road that is something that we want to highlight and we want to bring people in. And really, it's we talk about it as it's the entrance to downtown Loveland, and we want to make sure that people see all the businesses that are available there, from Premier Dance and Tumbling, which is a dance and tumbling instructing studio, Anytime Fitness, which is a 24-hour fitness gym. There's a barber there. There's a nail studio. There's our library, Dollar Tree, Ace Hardware. So really bringing all these people to this area of town is kind of the reason that we're doing it. And we partner with a law firm for it because, one, he wanted to do it. And two, we talked about him being the hometown lawyer. We talked about him wanting to be involved in the community. What better way to get in front of thousands of people and to have a presence and to showcase how he cares about the community than to kind of, put your money where your mouth is and sponsor our event.
So. Well, put on a community event. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's a great community event. And, you know, as I said, we like to think of ourselves as kind of neighborhood firm here, and it's a good fit. I mean, obviously, we want to have our name out to a lot of people, and it's a great event with a lot of people. But, you know, we want to just be involved. And,
Wants first dibs on all the food
trucks. It's
a fun event.
And he should get that.
I mean, love to eat and drink and...
You've talked a lot on this podcast about the community so far, right?
Sure.
And why the community matters so much to you. Has there been one story in your occupation where you're like, you know what, that is what makes this all worth it, that's happened inside this community?
I would go back to the fire that we had. I can't think of what year that was, but
2017.
It feels 5-6 years ago. And, you know, I knew a number of people well, friends, clients, you know, that were affected by that. And, you know, that was a big deal, you know, and that was a tough thing to go through. But I thought that Loveland, the community, really, really rallied, you know, and responded. And I think all of the new business and growth that you see downtown, you know, in some way kind of came from that event and the rebuild that went on there. So I think that's a tremendous example, that always impressed me.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of your involvement too, like with the families you're working with and the groups and the businesses you're working with too, I'm sure you can't name names and talk like, oh yeah, they're a client.
Yeah.
So how much of your business do you think is Loveland-centric outside of just like the greater Cincinnati area, or even said national for the, I forget what it was called, 1031?
Yeah, I mean, if you put the tax-deferred exchanges aside, which are all over, I would think probably... 75%, you know, of our legal clients and business comes from Loveland or nearby, you know, Goshen, Milford, but mainly Loveland.
All right, that makes sense. Now, so you obviously spent a lot of time in Loveland then.
Yes.
So have you ever seen the Loveland Frogman?
Have I ever seen it?
The Loveland Frogman.
I have not.
Do you know anyone that has?
No.
Okay.
I mean... Gotcha. We're talking a frogman. I'm aware of the frogman race, but
the frogman. Have you not heard of the Loveland Frogman?
No.
Oh, CeCe, please tell us.
Yeah,
okay.
Tell.
Frogman.
So here's what I know.
Okay.
That years and years ago, there was a call into the Loveland Police Department, and the call was about something that was in the water. Like it was a resident
coming out of the water.
And so they sent a police officer down there. Police officer goes down, and he confirms there is something. They said, well, what is it? And he said, it looks like a frog man. So that became actually the myth, which they harassed this poor little policeman. I don't know if he's little. I don't even know who it was, that he saw a frogman. So people started actually putting on frogman suits.
Okay.
And so that kind of became the ha, ha, ha around town that, you know, Joe, Officer Joe, you know, did you see that frogman again? So it's in Weird Ohio, that book. So it is a thing,
really?
The frogman. So that's why we named the frogman race after that.
I did not know that.
There
so you
go.
Never walked across the bridge.
Oddly, when I was little, I had created Super Frogman, who was a...
So was you.
And I wrote a little...
Uh-huh.
And he had a kind of like a Superman, you know, the diamond with SF on it for Super Frog, and had like a little series that...
So you wrote your own
at our elementary, you know, you could write a little books, and I think they'd put them in the library for a few weeks.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so...
That's cool. There's somebody looking to...
So this is very interesting. I'd
get
like to
a frogman suit, so I might have to get them your way. There's somebody that wants... A lot of folks that grew up here love that legacy and love that legend.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them reached out to me, and he wants to get a frogman suit to come to all the events and then be in the parade and all that.
I hear it's already in the works.
He needs a designer. I don't know. So.
Awesome. So kind of looking back at your business too, I want to run a couple scenarios past you and say if it's a good fit for you or not a good fit for you.
Okay.
So let's say, obviously, I am 20, how old am I now? I'm 29 years old. 29 years old. I have a 6-month-old. I need a will. Come to you for that.
Sure.
You could help me with that.
Absolutely.
What's that process usually look like?
What does the process look like? We typically get, you know, I mean, sometimes a single parent, or if it's, you know, two parents, will get mom and dad to come in, and it's, you know, usually about a 45-minute sit down, and you know, people have questions up front. We get those answered, but usually ask if I can just jump in the driver's seat, and then I do, and kind of flush out all of the information that we need. And, you know, I always present estate planning kind of on two paths. We, you know, and I'm a fan of simple, fast and easy, and you know, less expensive. And we go over what that can look like, and we can still do a really good job. And then, you know, I wouldn't call it a complex path, but slightly more so where, you know, as I said before, you get into kind of trust planning, and that's dependent on your situation. But, you know, I think that process is easy. You know, we don't charge for a consultation.
Mm, cool.
I can't remember a time where we've, you know, met with somebody and haven't gone through with the planning, which I think is a good thing. But it's an easy conversation. We don't need people to bring a lot of information. It's just schedule the appointment, and we'll flush it out, and we get everything prepared.
Nice. So I launch a new startup business in Loveland.
Mm-hmm.
You're the right person to talk to for all my contracts?
Yes.
All right. Let's just say speeding tickets. Can you get me a speeding ticket?
I'll refer you to somebody.
Gotcha. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
I got a guy for that.
You got a guy for that.
Yeah.
I could have used that guy.
I could have used that guy a while ago.
I get all my speeding tickets usually coming back from Michigan and Dearborn County, Indiana, and I'm talking several years in a row on the same trip coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And actually know somebody in the prosecutor's office over there, which is always very helpful. I find cutting right to the chase on things like speeding tickets. So knowing some people can be helpful.
Gotcha.
I don't think I'm getting, you know, unfair treatment. I still pay money. I just don't know where it goes. But I basically avoid the driver's insurance and, you know, points like that.
Gotcha. But if I get arrested for shoplifting, you're not the person to go to.
Again, I would, refer, you know,
okay.
You know, I, as I tell my clients, I mean, I might not answer in the middle of the night, but, you know, you can always call me, and I certainly can get you to who you need to
the point in the right direction
to be talking
so
to.
He's
but
not
but
being
I would
like
I would not be doing shoplifting or DUIs. So
you're not gonna bail us out of jail if we
no.
have a
middle of the night
a rompous night, crazy night.
If we get arrested,
Steve,
for,
I'd love to hear about
three.
That, but I probably can't do much more than listen.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
LYP gets a little crazy sometimes.
Yeah.
So.
That's
why
here.
Yeah.
Starts at Cappy's, ends at Cindy's.
We've all made that mistake at least once. No, that's fantastic.
Yes.
So that's pretty awesome. Is there anything else that you want to talk about your business? Like, is there a core business model, or do you have a certain clientele you enjoy working with or you're looking to grow?
Well, I haven't mentioned it. So I also have a partner in my practice, Matt Metzger. He does different practice areas than I do, but, you know, as a firm, you know, we do do, you know, select personal injury, and also have through him, you know, litigation support, you know, if there's lawsuits that, you know, our business clients or even sometimes individuals get into the civil lawsuits. You know, so we do have those capabilities. Any particular clients that, I mean, that we look for? Not necessarily. You know, I think people of all ages and, you know, can benefit from, you know, the estate planning services. You know, everybody from time to time is going to have to deal with either trust administration or probate, you know, if somebody's passed away. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you own a business, you know, you're in a different situation perhaps than if you're just, you know, an employee somewhere. But, you know, there's no particular, you know, business. We've got, you know, all sorts of clients, and it's a lot of fun dealing with them. And, you know, at this point in my practice, it's, you know, not working for a larger firm, you know, I kind of see myself almost more as a business owner myself than an attorney.
Right.
And, you know, it's nice having that experience because, you know, if you get a business in and, you know, I mean, I myself have been through cash flow problems and, you know, struggling, you know, with, you know, employee issues, you know, all the things that people come in, and, you know, it's nice having kind of that personal experience and, you know.
I never have any employee issues. I know what you're talking about.
And I was going to say that too, that it is the personal service mm-hmm. that,
yeah.
you know, we worked with Steve. We, you know, wasn't a huge yeah. staff of somebody's assistant. You know, that meant a lot to us. So it was a great experience.
Good.
Gotcha. That's cool. All right. So I have a couple of random questions from my audio engineer. But before we get into that, is there any other topics or conversations you want to have about your business?
I don't think so.
What's the weirdest legal situation you've ever found yourself in?
Personally or as an attorney?
You answer that how I answer.
Let's go, Steve.
That could be a deep dive. You know, I mean, there's been a lot of weird and fun and crazy facts, you know, different cases and things that have happened. One that I guess comes to mind, back in 2008, like, I mean, I'm talking like the first week that I had left a small firm where I was at and went out on my own. One of my first, what I thought was a new client call, you know, we had a shared receptionist and it patched through to me and I was, you know, very excited. And as soon as I answer and say hello, you know, this woman says, "Steve Walterman, you son of a," and I won't use the words, but bleep, bleep this. And I'm like, whoa, you know, what's happening here? You know, who are you? You know who I am. God, you know, and my husband's on his way over. He's going to kick you, you know, and I'm like, this is crazy. And so I probably sound like, you know, but wait, just hold on, you know, and she's just unleashing this tirade on me. And I truly don't know who this woman is, you know, and it has something to do with a lien on her house, and I can't get in a word, and so I kind of, like, put the phone on mute, and I'm like, you know, she truly thinks that we know each other.
Mm-hmm, which we don't.
I'm pretty sure I don't. I would, you know. And so I just am like, is there another attorney in town with the same name? And I Google, and sure enough, there's another attorney, and now I want to be very clear, I don't think he did anything wrong in this situation. But I find out there's another attorney with the same name, and I somehow get off the phone with her, and I called him and introduced myself, and we kind of found out, yes, we are related, you know, cousins, you know, something removed.
Oh,
and so kind of similar practice areas, and, you know, it was a really nice conversation. And then I had to end, I said, by the way, yeah. Steve,
someone's
going to be calling you.
And,
but so from time to time, you know, I mean, every once in a while, you know, I do some court stuff. It's like every attorney's nightmare. You know, you miss like a court date, you know, in front of the judge. And thankfully, I've never done that. But, you know, somebody will call and they'll say, hey, you know, Steve, we're going to be in court in 20 minutes before we do. I want to run something by. And then you'd be like, oh, my God, like, have I forgot?
Oh,
you know,
no,
I haven't scheduled it. You know, you go to these panic moments and it'll take, you know, 5 minutes to be like, wait, who are you talking to? You know, and it's like, well, you're looking for the other Steve, you know, the tall, skinny Steve Walton.
That's right.
The other side of
sometimes.
Town.
Yeah. You're looking for
so, you know.
So, some name confusion.
I always thought that was kind of, you know, a weird one for the, you know, second or third phone call I ever got.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
That's a good one.
Has anyone ever used you as a threat? Like, I remember one time sure. I had a deal, or I was working on a deal back when I worked at a university.
Call us up.
And so I was working on something with a vendor, and it went down further road than I thought it was mm-hmm. going to. And my boss was like, I'll take care of this. And she goes, I'll just tell them that legal counsel is getting involved. So I was like, got it. Legal counsel. I didn't know what that was. I was like 23, 24.
Yeah.
And so I said, we have legal counsel. And he was like, okay, thank you very much. We're going to, like, he was like, done. He was like, not going to even deal with me at that point. I was like, okay, I'm going to remember those words.
Seriously. So now you're just having a fight with your
general
husband.
Counsel legal counsel or something counsel. Like that. Yeah.
All the time. I will get emails and, without conversation even with, with the client. And, be copied on an email and, our attorney's going to, do this, that. Sometimes I get phone calls if it's, towards the end of the day and I haven't even caught up on emails. I'm like, whoa, you got to catch me up here. And it's some adverse party, to something I've been copied to and, responding to a legal threat, our clients made. And, almost always you get it sorted out. And,
yeah.
There's always usually a quick, easy, friendly, resolution. Not always, but usually.
Usually. Looking at the, I know the partnership is a thing, mm-hmm. right? So how is that, are you a partner or is that only a corporate legal thing or how does that
so, work? Yeah, I mean, there are, partnerships, which is a business entity. You can be a general partnership. You can have an entity like a limited liability company and have multiple owners where people would say that's a partnership. In our sense, for a law firm, I own Walterman Law Office, so I don't have a equitable partner, but I, Matt Metzger and I describe each other as partners.
Okay. Gotcha.
At the end of the day, it's kind of a, we're both have an interest in the firm and work together.
So I just know there's always like, I'm trying to make partner is the thing.
Right. So that can mean different things, in a law firm. Usually, you first arrive at partnership and it's kind of just a name only. Maybe even down the road, there's true equity where you're buying in and, then you're literally paying part of the expenses and certain things as it goes on. Yeah.
That makes sense. That's awesome. Has anyone ever asked you to do anything illegal? Or I guess, how often does that happen? So the answer is yes.
Well, sure. I think that people have definitely asked that. How often does that happen? Probably more than one might think.
Yeah.
We're not talking,
like let's go rob
murder,
a bank.
Murder for
like,
hire, right. But, not even robbing a bank, but, things you got to explain.
Stuff.
Hey, here's why, we got to be real careful. It can't go down certain paths because, there's
there
are laws.
You don't want to put yourself in jeopardy
either.
Correct.
All right. Why shouldn't I talk to the cops when I'm pulled over? Is the best policy to really not say anything?
I think generally speaking, that's correct. So my information comes from, attending like attorney continuing education classes. And then I, I have some good buddies who are, do that kind of law. I think that the general idea, and if we're talking about perhaps, if you're pulled over and have been drinking, I think it's probably the most common one. The less said, the better in that situation. I think I remember being told, if you know that you're, inebriated, significantly, you just really don't talk.
Mm-hmm.
And, you don't do a breathalyzer in the field. If anything, you have to go down to the station and make sure you talk to an attorney before you, mm-hmm. say too much. But, I think... With police or, I find in most things in life, it often is better to say less.
Yeah. I've been trying to learn that myself for a long period of time.
Yeah.
But I think that's awesome. I'm so glad we have you in the Loveland community because you've been such an asset. I know both the chamber, the great community, and just, personally, individually, a lot of people that I know and network with. So I appreciate that. Is there anything else you want to talk about with your business?
Nothing in particular.
Perfect. CC, Meredith, you have anything else you want to share about the Frogman event or anything else that's coming up? It's not Frogman, I'm sorry.
Food truck rally. I just wanted to add on to what Meredith was saying. She kind of went into why we're doing it and the location we're doing it and certainly why Walterman Law is sponsoring. We do events in order to highlight the businesses and create awareness for the businesses in our area. So we do invite businesses that are part of the chamber to come be a part of that. And if anyone is interested, you just need to reach out and they can have a booth. We have some best practices, like don't just hand a piece of paper out because we'll end up picking it up off the floor. So we'll share that with them. But it is a great way for a business maybe that is a little bit non-traditional as far as, you know, maybe not a restaurant, or but if you're an insurance company, to get out in front of the public. You know, we do get thousands of people that come to that event, as well as some of our other events. So it's a great opportunity for them to get out into to the community.
Nice. I love that. Awesome. Well, I think that's a wrap for this episode of the Chamber Chat Podcast. We should see you in a month.
Thanks for being here, Steve.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's
fun. Thanks for your support.